You're listening to The Digital Entrepreneur, the show for folks who want to discover smarter ways to create and sell profitable digital goods and services. This podcast is a production of Digital Commerce Institute, the place to be for digital entrepreneurs. DCI features an in-depth, ongoing instructional academy, plus a live education and networking summit, where entrepreneurs from across the globe meet in person. For more information, go to rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce. That's rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce.
And welcome back to The Digital Entrepreneur. I am your host, Jared Morris, the VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital. This is episode number 29. And on this week's episode, I am joined by the world's most inspirational marketing and customer service keynote speaker. And that's just a very small portion of what this hardworking, seemingly ubiquitous guy does. But real quick, before I reveal this week's guest, I want to let you know that this episode of The Digital Entrepreneur is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform. And I'll tell you a little more about this complete solution for digital marketing and sales later, but you can check it out and take a free spin for yourself at rainmaker.fm/platform. That's rainmaker.fm/platform. All right, so on to my guest this week. He is the founder of convinceandconvert.com, one of the world's most popular online resources for marketers and business owners. He is the co-host of the Social Pros podcast, one of the most influential social media and marketing podcasts out there. He is also the author of several great books, including Utility and his latest, Hug Your Haters, How to Embrace Complaints and Keep Your Customers. And he is also perhaps the most impeccable enunciator I have ever heard. I bet you already figured it out, but he is Jay Baer, and he is a digital entrepreneur, and he's also a birthday boy, at least on the date this episode goes live, September 29th. So if you're listening on the 29th, send Jay a tweet at Jay Baer and wish him a happy birthday. Tell him Jared sent you. All right, here now is my interview with digital entrepreneur Jay Baer. All righty, Mr. Baer, welcome to The Digital Entrepreneur. It's great to have you here.
I am delighted to be here, Jared. I'm ready to digitalize some entrepreneurship.
Let's do it. Let's do it. So your book, Hug Your Haters, actually, that came out in March of this year, right? March of 2016?
Yep, that's right.
How's the response been so far?
It's been amazing. It's been a lot of fun, too, talking about customer service and how customer service is the new marketing instead of what I've been doing for the last couple of years, which is just talking about marketing. So it's a little bit of a different approach with different audiences and different themes. And it's been amazing because it's a concept in a book that wakes people up. Look, customer service is being disrupted, but we don't talk about it. We talk a lot about marketing disruption. I mean, a lot. And write lots of books about it and have lots of conferences and have lots of podcasts. But we don't really have a lot of chatter about customer service disruption. And it's really, really important. So it's been fun.
Yeah. And I believe the website for that, if you go to jbaer.com/hug-your-haters, let me know if there's an easier URL to say.
Just go to hugyourhaters.com.
Hugyourhaters.com, even better. One thing that I was really interested in, I noticed that you have a course
built
there.
Built on Rainmaker, I should say.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Built on Rainmaker. And you have a course there, right. The Keep Your Customers course. And I'm kind of curious, just to begin, before we get into the normal questions that we ask, what's the impact been of the online course in conjunction with the book?
Well, somewhat foolishly, I did not launch the course contemporaneously with the book. I wanted to, but it's my first online course. And so it took me longer than I thought it would take me to do it at the level of quality that I want to do things. And so the course has only been out maybe 4 or 6 weeks. And people have been through it, love it, because it's really comprehensive. I've got, you know, 55 videos and 120-page workbook and a lot of all kinds of exercises. And I worked with Dr. Carrie Rose, who is brilliant, and she was my curriculum consultant on it and kind of took the principles of the book and turned it into a serious course that I'm really, really proud of. So it's been a hard road. I won't lie about that. Having never done a course before, I had to learn a lot of things I didn't know already. But it's been really gratifying, and it's a different way to get what I know out there into the world.
And I found it interesting that when you click on the course, and let me know if I'm just not going through the right process, but you click on the course, and instead of just being able to go and like buy or sign up for the course, you have a video there and then a survey that folks have to take before they can even get to it. What was kind of the thinking there behind that strategy?
Yeah, what we're trying to do is get a handle on what each potential course enrollees kind of key customer service problems are, so that we can then focus subsequent email nurture campaigns around that pain point. So certainly there are circumstances when somebody says, like, just like take me to an order form, but I don't want to be quite that presumptuous. So if we can identify what is your primary consideration, then we have multiple email sequences behind that so that if they're not ready to buy right now, we can send you some more customized email approaches than what you would typically do, which is, hey, how come you haven't bought the course yet?
Yeah.
We can do that, of course, but also do it in the context of what we believe to be their biggest problem.
Very nice. So you can really adapt the experience to the person based on what their actions have shown and what their answers have shown that they're interested in.
Yeah, because what we discovered in the research for the book is there's only a few different reasons why somebody isn't as good at customer service as they could be. And it's almost always fear, time, or confusion, right? There's sort of three buckets of problems there. And are able to identify that pretty easily through the quick survey that we have at the top of that funnel. And once we identify it, then we can send you messages that are more relevant to that particular pain point.
Yeah. Well, definitely, you know, for anybody who wants to dive in more on this topic of customer service, definitely recommend that you go to hugyourhaters.com. We could spend this entire episode talking about that.
You could buy a book. You could listen to a book. You could listen to me read you the book into your head. Which is a lot of fun.
Ooh, very nice. Very nice. So let's switch gears a little bit, Jay, and get into the questions that we normally ask here on The Digital Entrepreneur. And I want to start where we always start. You know, I've always believed that the number one benefit of digital entrepreneurship is freedom. The freedom to choose your projects, the freedom to chart your course, and ultimately the freedom to change your life and your family's life for the better. Besides freedom, what benefit of digital entrepreneurship do you appreciate the most?
Besides freedom, I would say just the ability to get paid, right? Let me tell you a story. Hmm. So I've been a digital entrepreneur for a long time. And when I sold my last business 10 years ago or so, something like that, I did my earn out and the plan was to go teach at a university. I was going to go be a marketing professor. Always wanted to do that. Always wanted to be a teacher. My mom was a teacher. My stepdad was a teacher. My aunt's a corporate trainer. It was kind of always in my thing. And so I was going to go do that. And then right after my earn out was up, we had the simultaneous stock market and real estate market collapse. And I looked around and said, you know, I don't know that I have as much cash as I would want to have to go teach. And so I decided to start this company, Convince to Convert, and ended up doing lots of consulting and writing books and blogs and podcasts and emails and all the things that I've subsequently done. And I turned around one day and realized, oh, I actually am a teacher. I'm doing the exact same thing I want to do. I'm just now I'm doing it in front of larger audiences and for way better money. So if you are good at digital entrepreneurship, you can monetize that disproportionate to the way you can monetize it offline, I believe.
What was the business that you were in before you made the shift?
So I've always been in similar businesses. I've always been in professional services, for the very longest time, marketing consulting, digital consultancy, and things like that. Way back when I first started out, I was in traditional marketing. I was a spokesman for a state government agency for a while, and I started my career in politics. I was a political campaign consultant.
Ah, boy, I bet you have some good stories from that time.
I do have some good stories from that time. I also have some good stories from my time as a spokesman. I was the spokesperson for the Arizona Department of Juvenile Corrections. So I have lots of harrowing tales of kid prison.
Oh, my.
I know some of those.
Oh, my. So you kind of took us back there to what you were doing before you became a digital entrepreneur. And, you know, in addition to this, you know, kind of being able to control your ability to get paid and that freedom, is there anything else that you felt was kind of missing that led you to want to make the change from what you'd been doing to what you're doing now?
So when my previous company, the one that I sold, we did a lot of the same services that we offer now at Convince to Convert, but we did it in a more classical sense where we had employees and we had an office and we had chairs and a break room, you know, and an HR department. And now, having gone fully digital, we've also gone fully virtual. So when I started this company and decided that I was going to really do it, I said, look, what are all the things that I didn't like about a non-digital environment? And how can we take all that away? So for example, everybody at Convince to Convert is a contractor. Nobody is an employee. Everybody on my team has their own clients and their own hustle on the side. We have one meeting a year, one actual meeting a year, and we have approximately 4 to 6 phone calls a year. We almost never visit clients in person. We almost do it all via Skype and tools like that. It's just we have stripped away the things that get in the way of good work and kept what remains.
I like that. I love how intentional you were. You know, what are the things about the non-digital environment I don't like, and just strip them one by one and make it something that works for you.
The other thing that we do somewhat different from my previous firm is that in this organization, we only do strategy. So Convince or Convert only does strategic planning. We do not do tactics. We do not do execution. We are not an agency, although some people think that we are. We only do social media strategy, content marketing strategy, customer service strategy, and influencer strategy. That's it. That's the list of the things that we do. People ask us all the time, can you make us an ebook? Can you make us a video? Can you make us a podcast? And no, we don't do that. So because we only do strategy, we only have senior people. We only have people who have got a ton of time in digital and are a very, very, very high level. So there's no layers, right? There's me and there's our head of our consulting and then there's everybody else. So we don't have any junior team. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the other things that is very intentional about how we set this business up. Because when I was in my previous firm and running a 60, 70 person agency, you know, you spend all your time dealing with HR issues, you know, with who gets promoted and she doesn't like this person and how do we switch account teams? And, you know, you're constantly hiring. We had 0% turnover in this company for 6 years in a row.
Wow.
So I just very intentionally said, like, what are all the things that get in the way, and don't do those anymore.
Wow. So Jay, tell me about maybe a milestone or a moment in your career as a digital entrepreneur that you're the most proud of.
A milestone or a moment that I'm the most proud of. There's a number of things that I could point to, but I have to say, even though it's not really an entrepreneurial mission, it's just one that is a milestone. When my book Utility came out as a New York Times bestseller, and you can actually go on down to the CVS and get a copy of the New York Times and flip to the book section and there's your book, that's one that I'm not going to forget anytime soon. That's a pretty cool thing.
How did that make you feel when you saw that?
You know, it was certainly a sense of accomplishment and pride, but also a real sense of relief, just because you have to work really, really hard to make that happen. At least in my category, and for somebody like me, I know other people probably have an easier time of it making a list like that. But we put an awful lot of time and effort into marketing that book and all of the subsequent books. And so to say, well, yeah, we actually did it. It actually, paid off. That was gratifying for sure.
You know, and when people say, you have to put in a lot of time, and you think about writing a book and how much time it takes to write a book, do you think the general person underestimates how much time it takes after the book is actually done?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, it depends. Like, it's called, this is a famous saying. It's not mine. It's called the New York Times best-selling list, not the New York Times best writing list. And there's a reason for that, right? I mean, there's lots of books out there that sell a ton that aren't very good, and vice versa, of course. And so we probably spend on average 3 hours marketing a book for every hour creating a book in general.
Okay, so on the flip side of that then, tell me about the most humbling moment in your career as a digital entrepreneur, and then more importantly, what you learned from it.
I definitely made some mistakes on this course. So I would say the most humbling moment may actually be unfolding as we're having this conversation, which is a little bit unfortunate. I didn't follow everybody's advice, including people that we all know and love, who said, hey, it's your first course, you should start really small. That's not what I do. I am very much in the school of, if I'm in for a penny, I'm in for a pound. And I go all in on everything, which is typically a good approach for me. For something like this, we've known it before, it may be not a good approach. Time will tell. But probably my most noteworthy fully baked failure is actually along the same lines. About 3 years ago, you may know this story. About 3 years ago, my team and I created a website called marketingpodcasts.com. Mm-hmm. And the idea there was that podcast discovery is terrible, and it still is. It's ridiculous, right? If you want to go find a show like this show or any of the 6 shows that I produce, it's kind of hard to do that. Like, iTunes is a hot mess. There really is no Google for podcasts. I mean, lots of people have written a blog post here or there about, I like this show or like that show, but that's not linear in any way, shape, or form. So we decided to fix that. And so we built a site called marketingpodcast.com. We created our own proprietary ranking algorithm, lots of custom database work, built it on WordPress. It was slick, man. Still there. It still works. And we launched it, really proud of it, really proud of the technology, But because I built that project because I was mad that it didn't exist. And I didn't actually have a business model for it. Hmm. So we created it without really understanding what we were going to do with it or how we're going to monetize it. And as a result, we sort of had to set it aside because we have other things that we work on where I can actually, you know, get paid and make money, and that ended up not being one of them. So that was a mistake and humbling, because I realized, like, look, just because it's a good idea doesn't mean you should do it.
And when you have, you know, things like that happen, do you regret doing that, or do you kind of appreciate the lessons that you learned and what you got out of it, even though it didn't end up both fulfilling what you wanted it to?
Yeah, both. I mean, I always financially regret it. But from a, hey, you know what? We learn things when we fail. And you know, everything, even that we fail at, there's pieces of it that succeed every time. I mean, there's no such thing as a total failure. That's a misnomer. We use that phrase a lot. You know, that's a total failure, but there's no such thing. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we learned a lot about marketing, about WordPress dev, about, you know, the ins and outs of the iTunes algorithm. We learned a lot of things on that project. Just making money at it was not one of them.
You know, you mentioned earlier with this course that a lot of people had told you, you know, don't go so big, it's your first course. And that conflicted with this, with your natural inclination to, you know, kind of go big or go home, you know, do it big. How do you personally, I mean, how do you balance that when advice that you're getting and maybe this best practice that you're seeing kind of goes against your core, your gut, how you want to approach something? How do you try to balance, you know, taking this advice that other people are saying, but still doing it the way that works for you?
Man, it's really hard, because I've had the opposite happen too, right? I've had people give me advice and I didn't follow it, and I was right and they were wrong. And in this case, they may have been right and I may have been wrong. And so when you don't have a consistent pattern there, it is hard. Like, it, you know, you start to second guess yourself, which is not my MO, right? I'm not a second guesser. It's point the ship in that direction, ahead for the horizon line. But I also realize that as digital entrepreneurship expands and changes and morphs and consumer behavior changes and technology changes, like, nobody knows it all, right? And only a fool thinks that he does. Anybody who tells you they know everything either by definition doesn't know everything or is a liar, at least to themselves. So as I get older, and as the sort of tentacles of my business get more numerous and elongated as well, I find it becomes more worthwhile to seek the counsel of others. I'll give you an example from a different part of my business. So I spend a lot of my time now speaking and doing keynotes and those kind of things all around the world. And I'm pretty good at it, I would say, and other people might agree, but I spend a bunch of money on speaker coaching, and I spend, as the bigger I get, the more I spend. Because I feel like you've got to continue to level it up, and at some point, leveling up, that next step on the ladder gets farther and farther apart, and so I need to start following that same advice in other parts of my business, evidently.
Hey, real quick, excuse me for butting in here, but I just wanted to say a few quick words about our sponsor for this episode, the Rainmaker platform. And when we get back to the interview in just a few seconds, I asked Jay for the one word he'd use to describe his business right now, and he cheats with his answer. You can decide if I go too easy on him. But anyway, as you probably know, stitching together a website that truly gives you everything you need to connect with your audience on the modern day web is no easy task. I mean, finding good hosting plus security and support you can trust, that's a headache. That patchwork of plugins that you rely on can prove to be a nightmare at the worst possible time. You need the ability to create content types ranging from blog posts to podcasts to possibly even online courses. And what about integrated landing pages, email marketing, and marketing automation? These aren't nice to have features for the smart digital entrepreneur who is building a modern marketing website. These are necessities. Well, you have two choices. One, you can piecemeal it all together, pay more in total, and then cross your fingers and hope everything plays nicely together. Or you can use the Rainmaker platform. Rainmaker is a fully hosted online marketing and sales solution that gives you everything out of the box in one dashboard. Write simple blog posts, host paid membership areas, sell in-depth module-based online courses. You can even use Rainmail to host all of your email lists and send broadcast emails instead of autoresponder sequences right there in your Rainmaker dashboard. No more third-party email service. Oh, and rather than having to choose from one of 100 different places for support when you have a question, with Rainmaker, it's just one support team ready and excited to help you out. All of these reasons and more are why Rainmaker.fm runs on Rainmaker and why all of my personal sites do too. But don't just take my word for it. Check out the Rainmaker platform for yourself. Go to rainmaker.fm/platform and start your free 14-day trial today. That's rainmaker.fm/platform. All right, now back to my interview with Jay Baer.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's fast forward to now. What is one word that you would use to sum up the status of your business as it stands today?
Growing and transitioning. That's actually three words.
But growing. We'll take it. And doesn't really count. So two words, growing and transitioning. So what objective right now is at the top of your priority list? And what are you doing specifically to achieve it?
Well, that's one of my challenges. I'm not very good at having one priority like most people. But I would say categorically, we are adding proactivity and wisdom to the business development process. We've been able to succeed in a tremendous way and been on the Inc. list a million times and all that kind of jazz without ever trying to get a client. Like everything we've ever done has been inbound and have been able to grow a very nice business. But at some point, you have to be more specific and proactive about who you're working with. And so that is a major piece of what we're doing now is retooling the sales process and the lead gen process and all those kind of things.
What would have been kind of the biggest challenges in that shift in mindset for you guys?
We haven't had people associated with that work. I mean, obviously we know how to do it. We do that kind of consulting for clients all the time, but we've never done it ourselves. We've never said, hey, let's create content with that has as its only purpose lead gen. And then let's do paid promotion to make sure people see that content. And let's do follow-up email sequences to make sure that people are interested to get nurtured. Like all the things that of course people know how to do, especially in digital entrepreneurship, we've never done because we've never had to. And we don't have to now, but I want to because I want to make sure that we have a richer top of the funnel and a more linear path to revenue.
Yeah.
Because as we get bigger, we got more mouths to feed. And so at some point you can't just assume that, well, we're going to get a bunch of inbound leads this month because we always have every other month.
Yeah. Okay, so let's open up your toolbox a little bit. What is one technology tool that contributes the most to your success as a digital entrepreneur?
Especially because we're so virtual, and I've got people in Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, like all over. We use Sococo as our virtual office environment, S-O-C-O-C-O. And it includes chat, it includes voice calls, it includes video calls, it includes screen sharing. But one of the things that we really like about Sococo is it has a virtual office environment. So if you log into our Sococo instance, each of us has an office. And so you see it right on your screen. Like I've got an office. Everybody has an actual office. And then almost like The Sims, right? People can walk into each other's office, sit down, have a conversation, turn on the video cameras. And so even though the whole thing is you know, it's just a fake layer, that adding a little bit of geospatial relationship to a virtual company adds a richness and depth to the interactions that's proven very effective for us.
Boy, that's really interesting. Do you think that cuts down maybe on some of the random IM interruptions that might happen?
Absolutely, because you know where somebody is. You know, you can see if they're in somebody else's office having a conversation. And so it's not just sort of do not disturb the way you might find on Slack. You really have a little bit more of a sense of what the other person is doing. Or if you two people are talking and you think you might need to be in that company, you just pop in there and say, hey. And so it's nice. I like it.
That's really interesting. I mean, do you think that kind of thing is the wave of the future? I mean, as we go toward more virtual and augmented reality?
I don't know. You would think, right? But you see so many organizations using Slack or similar that don't have that layer. And they seem to be getting along just fine without it. So I'm not sure. You raise an interesting point, though, about VR and AR. I can absolutely see kind of what Sococo does taken to the next level, right? Where you almost a Pokemon Go sort of a sense, right? You can kind of, on your smartphone have more of a three-dimensional representation of the office environment.
Yeah.
And certainly if we get to the point where we've got VR goggles on and can still get work done as opposed to look at roller coasters or whatever, obviously we're fast-forwarding a few years, but that could be really interesting. You talk about digital entrepreneurs like laying on their couch wearing their goggles and they're sort of walking through the office and interacting with their coworkers around the world. That's going to get real exciting.
Yeah, it is. So on the flip side of that, then, what is the non-technology tool that contributes the most to your success?
A non-technology tool. We have like 57 software licenses. So the non-technology list is short. I still write down a to-do list every day, like on paper. Partially because I'm old, but that's just how I remember things. That process of writing it down actually makes it sink into my head and stick into my head quite a bit. So that's actually one of the things that we do. But I'll tell you, probably the real answer from the company is that we do have that one meeting every year, and we get the whole company together with spouses or significant others or plus ones, and we all stay in a house, a giant house together, and spend multiple days kind of thinking through what we're going to do for the next year and building relationships and those kind of things, and that one little thing every year has been a huge driver of our success.
Has there been any talk to installing cameras and making it a reality show?
There's been talk. There's been late night drunken talk, but that talk gets vetoed by me.
Nothing beyond that. Hey, for the to-do list, because I've heard a lot of people say that, about writing down the to-do list. Do you have a master to-do list that you work from, or do you kind of wake up fresh every day, 1, 2, 3 on the paper and write it down?
Master. Yeah. Master. So I have two. I've got a digital one. I use Wunderlist. And so I use Wunderlist, which works cross-functional, of course, phone, tablet, desktop. And then I've got a paper to-do list. And they are somewhat similar. The Wunderlist one that's digital that I have on my phone all the time is more what am I doing over the next, say, 15 days? And I'm always kind of moving things around based on reprioritization. And then the written list is more, all right, what are we doing over the next, 15 to 90 days? It's more of a chunky list.
Gotcha. Okay. So earlier I asked you what the one word would be that you would use to sum up your business today. And you said growing and transitioning. If we were to talk again in a year, and I hope we will, what would you want that one word to be?
I would want that one word to be a year from now, systematized.
Hmm. In what specific ways? Where would you specific?
Always.
And always.
Yeah. I mean, we are at that point, and this is my fifth company that I've started, so it's not like I don't know what's happening or what's coming, but we're at that point where it's not just Jay and some people and we're going to manage it via post-it note. It's a real company with millions and millions of dollars of revenue. And so we have to set up systems and policies and procedures where we can do the same thing over and over again. Whereas historically we've been doing a lot of things kind of one-off or two-off, which just leaks efficiency. Mm-hmm. So we just have to make it a company more so than a collective. And that's hard.
Yeah. What's the biggest challenge in making that a reality?
I think partially that most of the people who are on our team came to the organization before we were of a size where those things were required. So it's a little bit of a, hey, we used to be one way, now we're going to be another way. That starts and ends with me. I would prefer to not do that, but it has to be done. So that's certainly part of it. And then also because we're virtual, and because everybody's super busy and traveling a lot and all that, it's very difficult to do what you would typically do in a classic environment, which is to say, okay, here's the plan. We're going to have a 2-hour meeting every day for 2 weeks to make all this stuff happen.
Right.
We don't really have that opportunity. We just can't. It's just not. Sometimes the virtual thing's amazing until you need to get everybody on the same page quickly, and then it gets harder.
Yeah. We've gone through some of those same challenges at Rainmaker Digital too,
yeah.
And you do run the real risk of, different departments getting siloed and there not being enough communication and things slipping through the cracks, or like you said, it losing efficiency and not systematizing things that you could. So I think that's a common challenge, especially for virtual companies as they get bigger and more mature.
Well, and there's not that many virtual companies that are that big. Like, it's a little bit unproven.
Yeah.
You look at what Buffer's doing or what you guys are doing and some other people. There's not that many, bigger companies or mid-sized companies that are purely virtual. So we'll see how well it works at scale.
Yeah. Well, I've got some rapid-fire questions to end with.
If you're up for the challenge. I'm up for the challenge. we're just going to close out the show. He's not up for the challenge. Thank you.
I figured you would be. Okay. So if you could have every person who will ever work with you or for you read one book, what would it be?
I'm going to give you two. I would say utility just because I wrote it and it's sort of the fundamental premise that we do consulting about. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of tricky to work with us or for us if you don't know what that book says. So not that I'm like, my book's so great. I'm not saying that. It's just that you kind of have to know that principle in order to do stuff with us. So that one. But probably the one that I would recommend that's not for me would be Procrastinate on Purpose for my good friend Rory Vaden, which is the best book ever written on time management.
Very nice. Procrastinate on Purpose. Okay. If you could have a 30-minute Skype call to discuss your business with anyone tomorrow, who would it be?
I should probably do this. Probably Brian Clark from Rainmaker, because I need to talk about this course thing and where we head next. So I might just call him up and do that.
He's a good person to talk to about courses.
He among is. Other things.
Yes. You're not the first person who said him in the answer
is that
to
right?
that question.
Everything suck up.
Okay. What is the one email newsletter that you can't do without?
You know which one I love right now is Scott Monty's weekly newsletter, The Full Monty. Scott puts a ton of time and effort into it, and every week he publishes an email newsletter that has links and short commentary to kind of all of the big digital marketing trends, especially on the brand side, that have happened in that week. And it's really well done and a big time saver.
Okay. What non-book piece of art had the biggest influence on you as a digital entrepreneur?
Piece of art.
This is always the one that people take the longest with to answer.
Okay. So when I was first starting out, this is 1994. I was vice president of marketing at an internet company called Internet Direct, first internet company in Arizona. We were primarily a dial-up provider. And then my partner in that company invented virtual hosting.
Wow.
Before then, if you wanted to have a website, you had to have your own server. It was one domain to one server. He invented the partitioning algorithm, which made virtual hosting possible, which of course has then made Rackspace possible and Bluehost and you know, your company and lots of other things. And I didn't really realize what the magnitude of that was, nor did any of us. But we grew the company really fast as a result because we were the only ones in the world who could do it. And that was the first time that sort of code piece of art, if you will, was the first time that I realized like, oh, this internet thing could be not just my current job, but what I do for the rest of my life. Mm. And fast forward 22 and a half years and I'm still doing it.
Oh, wow. Great answer.
Thanks.
What productivity hack has had the biggest impact on your ability to get more meaningful work done?
So I mentioned that we have the annual meeting of Convince and Convert. One of the things we try and do with that meeting every year is we audit how I spend my time. How does Jay spend his time day to day, week to week, month to month? And then we try to take away 15% of that every year.
Oh, wow.
So we say, what are the things that I'm doing that I don't have to do, that I'm not uniquely qualified to do, and who else in the organization or who else could we have as a third party take those tasks on? And when you do that year after year after year after year, what you're left with is a concentrate. Like, you know, if you try to make a sauce, and when you make a sauce and you start it and you put it on the stove, you're like, man, this is way too much liquid. This is like a gallon jug of sauce. But then when you keep putting it over the burner, it evaporates and thickens and evaporates and thickens and evaporates and thickens until you have like, you know, a nice, dense, concentrated sauce. That's how I look at my time. The best possible scenario is that I spend every minute of every day doing things that only I can do. That nobody else in my company could do this podcast with you, Jared. Nobody else in my company could go on stage and do what I do on stage. Nobody else in my company could write the books that I write. And the more that I can set it up so I'm spending my time doing the things that nobody else can do, the better off I am and the better off they are. Hmm.
And the more that your people are going to grow by taking on those responsibilities.
That's right.
As well.
And look, one of the worst habits that entrepreneurs have is they believe that they can do it better. They say, well, sure, I could delegate that, but you know what? I do it better than they do. And of course you do, but you don't do it enough better to make it a difference maker. Like, could you do this task 7% better than anybody else in your team? Yeah, probably, but who cares?
Right. Yeah.
That's what holds entrepreneurs back. Ego is what holds them back. Mm. That they know it better than everybody else.
Yep. And what is the single best way for someone inspired by today's discussion to get in touch with you, to connect?
There's
a lot of
ways to find our stuff. Convinceandconvert.com is probably the best because we've got, as I mentioned, 6 podcasts of our own, 12 blog posts a week, 4 emails a week, all kinds of goodness there. Convinceandconvert.com.
And then hugyourhaters.com for the book as well.
For the book, yep, absolutely.
And my final question, a bonus question, will you be making it to any Indiana basketball games this year?
I am, of course, going to make some games. I gave up my season tickets this year, unfortunately, which is a bummer because the Hoosiers should be pretty good this year.
Yes.
But the challenge is, with my travel schedule, it's just crazy. Basketball tickets in Indiana are expensive.
Yes.
Because the football team isn't anything to write home about. And obviously a legendarily good program. And so the tickets are really pricey and I can never go. Like I'm investing all this money in tickets and I got to give them away or try to sell them. And so this year I did not actually get season tickets for the first time, but I'm just going to go to a few games when I can go, which I think will be a wiser decision. The other thing is my son is in high school now and is on the high school hockey team.
Ah.
And they play a ton of games and they play essentially 3 games every weekend for like 5 months. And that schedule lays on top of basketball season. So I could probably go to even fewer games than typical. So yeah, that's the plan. But I'll go to something for sure.
Very nice. Well, enjoy the newly renovated Assembly Hall.
This year is only half renovated. They're only half done this year. It's a total mess. Front entrance is still closed, and this season is going to be a real challenge just from a fan standpoint because it's under construction and they're going to have to funnel everybody through a couple of doors and all that, and parking's messed up. But next season for 2017-2018 is going to be dope.
Yeah.
It's going to be really, really cool.
Well, hopefully the team this year can make it worthwhile, even if it's a little more challenging to get in.
And they're going to be strong. They got a good team and mm-hmm. really deep. There's strong down low. I think the only question is, do they have a point guard? And I guess we'll find out pretty quickly.
We will. Well, Jay, thank you so much for being here on the Digital Entrepreneur.
Hey, my pleasure. I'm anytime. You let me know. I'll be back.
Great to have you.
See you, man.
All right. Thanks. Hey, all right. Well, thank you for listening all the way through here to this latest episode of The Digital Entrepreneur. Always appreciate you being here. My thanks, of course, to Jay Baer, a great guest, as I knew he would be. Really appreciate Jay coming on and sharing his insight. Go check out Jay's books, Hug Your Haters, the latest one. Good read. You'll enjoy it and learn a lot. My thanks, as always, to our production crew at Rainmaker.fm, Toby, who's at the controls, Caroline, who helps me with scheduling, and Will, of course, who helps with all the production. Thank you all. The Digital Entrepreneur would not be what it is without you. And hey, just a reminder, go to Rainmaker.fm/platform, support our sponsor for this episode, the Rainmaker platform, and more importantly, check it out for yourself. See if you like it. I love using Rainmaker for my personal sites. I built the Assembly Call on Rainmaker. Rainmaker.fm is built on Rainmaker. And I think when you try it out, you'll like it too. So go to Rainmaker.fm/platform, start your 14-day free trial. Now, if you are still listening, you are a digital entrepreneur diehard because you listened all the way to the end of the episode. You got through all this stuff at the end. I want you to do me a favor. Send me a tweet at Jared Morris, JerodMorris. Declare yourself a digital entrepreneur diehard. Seriously, I'd love the opportunity to thank you personally for being a digital entrepreneur listener. I really appreciate you being part of the audience. So declare yourself a diehard. Send me a tweet. Let me know that you listened all the way through. I look forward to it. All righty, we'll be back next week with another brand new episode. Until then, take care. Talk to you soon.